of giving a sermonette, of compressing into 10 to 15 minutes, Pastor. Why we are praising the Lord this morning. Now, is that ridiculous or what? And just when I thought I had it all nailed down, just when I thought I had it focused and when I had it contained and when I had it right in the spot that would fit the 10 to 15 minutes, I came to Sunday school this morning. Now, you know what I'm about to say, Sunday school. We're on lesson 2 in our study of the Holy Spirit in Sunday school. And all I did was read the exposition that I had written. I write our Sunday school curriculum. So all I did was read what I had written and read the text that accompanied it. And I said, this is what I'm going to share this morning. So whatever I plan, I'm going to throw all that out, and I'm just going to read what we studied this morning in Sunday school. And that's not going to be enough, but if I spoke for 30 hours, that wouldn't be enough either. So we might as well keep it simple and keep it rolling and keep on going and come back next week and we'll talk more about why we're celebrating. And the Sunday after that, we'll talk more about it. And throughout all of eternity, the scripture says, we'll be talking about it. And so why not settle for something a little bit more concise? And praise the Lord for it, you know. Just consider it like a French cuisine, a French dish. You know, they give you a little bit of food for a lot of money. So just consider this a specialty this morning. And I'm simply going to read it, and then I'm going to sit down, and I'll be done. And I'm already taking up more than my 10 to 15 minutes introducing it. So I'm going to stop introducing it, and I'm going to read it. This was lesson 2 in our Sunday school. It's called Transforming. Ephesians 3:14 through 21 is the text. And I can guarantee you that just reading the text, you know why we're here praising the Lord. So here's the text. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think or imagine, or as it says here, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church. Yes. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, if that wasn't enough, I had to try to elaborate. So I wrote something about this, and this is what we discussed this morning. And we could not get through it. We have to continue it again next week. Of course, I won't be here next week because my son's getting married, and I'm going to be performing the wedding. But Brother Jim is going to handle it, and it's still going to be great. But this is what I said of that passage. The Apostle Paul's heart overflowed with the desire that the church at Ephesus fully grasp the awesome implications of the gospel. His deep affection and concern for them drove him to his knees in prayer. He recognized that explaining these truths could only take him so far. To fully grasp the magnificence of the gift that was theirs in Christ, supernatural assistance was needed. He knew that that assistance was only available through the Holy Spirit. So he prayed that by the power of the indwelling Spirit of God, the Ephesians would gain experiential knowledge of the love of God, which is bigger than human reason or imagination. A knowledge that would effectually fill them up with the essence of the living God himself. Now that's some prayer. Paul's desire for them goes far beyond a spiritual thrill. He wanted them to have more than a quick fix or a hot bath. His prayer was for their transformation, that their lives would reflect from the inside out the new life that was theirs in Christ. And indeed, the very next instruction that Paul pens is, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. It's the vibrant reality of God's love engendered by the Holy Spirit that precedes and produces genuine life change. Not guilt, not shame, not muscle, not grit, not discipline, not determination. It is the love of Christ that is the foundation for growth. It is the love of Christ that is the launching pad of ministry. It is also the maintenance center when spirituality sputters and stalls out. The Holy Spirit is the one who keeps us fueled with that love. As the Holy Spirit expands our appetite for the manifold expressions of the love of God, we become more inclined towards loving others. The inner transformation brought about by the Spirit is primarily and ultimately one of love. Just as God's love is his instrument for transforming us, so it is also intended by God to be the tool that draws others to him. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. As God's people grow in love for each other, the promise is that it will become a beacon that attracts others to Christ. And in the words of E. Stanley Jones, I am a trainee of the Holy Spirit. And that's just the beginning of our praise. So we have a lot to give thanks for, so let the celebration continue.